my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my words. You, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Now here is a very important passage. Notice from verse 41 that these religious people, these Jews, and they are Christians too, who said, we have one Father, even God. God is our Father. We are sons of God. Jesus said, no, so, not so. Why not? Now here comes the vital principle of sonship in the Bible. How do we become sons of God? Well, to understand that, we first have to know what is a son of God in the Bible. Now, we think of sons as being having some kind of physical relationship. We are born, and that person is my father or my mother, therefore we are that person's son. The Bible doesn't quite go in this way. The mark of sonship in the Bible is the way you conduct yourself. What is your attitude and what you do? That is the mark of sonship. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8. If you were Abraham's son, you would do what Abraham did. Now that's the key to understanding sonship in the Bible. Why are we sons of the devil? It is because we do what the devil does. What does the devil do? He sins. He lies. What does the devil do? He is self-centered. The devil always is putting himself first. He wants to displace God. He wants himself. He wants to have the glory to himself. The Bible then shows us that the mark of sonship is that the son does what the father does. It's not that just that he has some kind of physical connection to the father. It is in the Bible, sonship is, and this is very important for you to understand, has to do with likeness in character and conduct. That is the mark of sonship. If I claim to be a son of God, but I don't behave like a son of God, I don't behave as Jesus behaved, then I am a hypocrite. I am a liar. I don't speak the truth. That is why the Lord Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites. They are not speaking the truth. They say that they are sons of God, but they don't behave like sons of God. Do you behave like a son of God? How do you behave in your home? How do you behave in your school? What is your attitude and your mentality? Now, this is a very important point to grasp, and this is a principle that goes through the whole of Scripture. That sonship has to do with likeness in attitude and in conduct. When we choose to become sons of God, we don't just choose a relationship to God that we think we can establish by a profession of faith. That is what the Pharisees did. Rather, we choose a whole new lifestyle, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of behaving. That's what it means to become a Christian. You do not just choose to believe certain doctrines. You choose a new lifestyle. That's what's important for you to understand. And I would like those who are about to be baptized to understand this very clearly. Otherwise, what will happen is that you simply become a hypocrite. You're going to speak as though you are a Christian, and you're going to behave like a non-Christian. That is what the hypocrisy is about. And we have too many people like that in the church already. Outwardly, they claim to be Christians. They speak as though they are Christians. But when you look at their life, and you look at their mentality, look at the way they behave, what you see is a non-Christian. You don't see a Christian. They are no different from any non-Christian. and yet they claim to be Christians. If that's the way you behave, and you call yourself a son of God or a daughter of God, you have only deceived yourself. That's what I meant when I said that the Bible does not draw the line by saying all Christians are sons of God and all non-Christians are sons of the devil. Not at all. There are lots of so-called Christians who are sons of the devil. It's very important to grasp this thing. And this point goes right through the scripture. Now in Matthew 23, back to our passage there in verse 33, this is the reason why the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You are serpents, and you are the offspring of serpents." Now what is a serpent? The devil is a serpent. The devil is pictured as a serpent in the Bible because of his deceitfulness, his poisonous, his corruption, his readiness to harm other people. Sons of the devil. That's what they are. Now when the Lord Jesus calls them sons of the devil, he is not insulting them. He is not calling them names. It is more like a medical diagnosis. When the doctor says that you have cancer or diabetes, he is not trying to insult you. He is trying to tell you that's your condition, that unless you do something about it, you will die. When the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You are serpents, that is your nature," he is not insulting them. He is telling them that's your condition, that unless you are changed by God, unless you become a new person, you will die. That's what it says in the very next verse, in verse 33. How shall you escape being sentenced to hell? How can you escape it? Because unless you stop being serpents, unless your whole inner character is changed, you have no way to escape from hell. Now, many people, when they read Matthew 23, they think that Jesus is insulting the Pharisees. He is more or less swearing at them. Not so. To think like this is not to understand the Lord Jesus at all. He is diagnosing their spiritual condition and warning them that unless they change, they cannot escape from hell. Their eternal welfare is at stake. There must be a fundamental change. Now, throughout the Bible, when you study the nature of sonship, you will find this very thing, that sonship has to do with a mentality and with a way of life. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, what do we read? Blessed are the peacemakers. They are not serpents. Serpents are poisonous. They harm other people. But peacemakers are those who bring blessing to other people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You see, sonship is connected with a certain type of attitude and behavior, namely those who make peace. People who make trouble, they are not sons of God, whatever they think themselves to be. But people who make peace, who bring together the injured parties, who heal the wounds, these are the people who are the sons of God. A little bit further on, chapter 5, verse 45, we see the same thing again. Those who love their enemies, these are the sons of God. You see, being sons of God is not tied up with a certain religious stance. It has to do with a whole attitude of mind, which results in a in a particular kind of conduct, a loving conduct toward others, even those who are your enemies. That is the mark of sonship. And that is something we cannot do by our own strength. That is why I said, God's power is like this power of the rocket that lifts us up by His power out of the sphere of influence of the gravity pull of sin. It is His power. I cannot love my enemies. I cannot do that. But God's power can make me do that. He can enable me to do it so that I am surprised at what I do. What I by nature cannot do, I find myself doing by God's power. Now, if God's power is not real, I wouldn't be able to do it. But because God's power is real, I can do it. That is the evidence of God's power. If you try to do it by yourself, you find you can't do it. It's against human nature. It's against the law of gravity. But God's power enables us to do it. He enables us to become children of God and to function as children of God. Throughout the Bible, you find in the New Testament, this sonship is connected not with a status, not with a status, but with a whole new lifestyle. And I want to stress this point because there is teaching in the church that is contrary to this. There's teaching in the church that says that if you simply, in some sense or other, believe in Jesus, you make some kind of profession of faith, then you can keep on sinning as much as you like and you will still be saved. Incredible teaching that is, but you know that that is true. That is this kind of teaching. That is not biblical teaching. That is why I'm constantly pointing out to you that in the Bible, sonship is not just a status. It is a way of life. It's important to grasp this. And because there are some Christians who did not grasp this, they think that because you are a Christian, you can keep on sinning and you'll still be saved. That even though your mentality does not change, even though your behavior does not change, you're still going to be saved. I don't know what kind of teaching that is, because I don't find it in my Bible. And so we go on to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for example, verses 17 and 18, tells us the same thing. God tells us what kind of people He will call His sons. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, the Bible tells us that it is those people who come out of sin, out from the bondage of sin, who do not have anything more to do with the unclean things. It is these people, in verse 18 tells us, that God will say to them that He will be their father and they will be His sons. You see, He expects from them a total change in their lifestyle. That is the necessity in becoming sons. The same thing is true in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. In verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks that we have become sons of God through His adoption. But in verse 4, it tells us that we have left the old way of life of sin, that God wants to present us holy and blameless in His presence. And this He did in verse 7, it tells us, through the sacrifice of Himself, that through His blood, He cleansed us to make us holy, acceptable in His presence. And finally, for example, in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21, verse 7, it tells us there, who are the people that God will call His sons and His daughters? It is they who conquer. They who conquer, who overcome the gravity of sin, the gravity pull of sin, and who do this not in their own strength, because they have long discovered that they can't do it in their own strength, but by the power of God. Time and again, the scripture keeps on telling us this, that if you were Abraham's sons, you would do what Abraham did. Well, what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. That's what he did. When God told him to do something, he did it. And every son of God is one who is like Abraham, who does what Abraham did. And the same thing in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Those who follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, it's not a status. It is people who constantly follow the Holy Spirit that are sons of God in the Bible. So don't think that because you were baptized or because you made some profession of faith, you now have this status of being called born again. And because you are born again, that therefore you can sin. That's exactly the opposite of the meaning of being born again. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says this very thing, that whatsoever is born of God does not continue to commit sin. But verse 8 of 1 John chapter 3 says that whoever commits sin is of the devil. Now this is made very plain to us. If you continue to live in sin, even if you profess to be a Christian, then you are of the devil. But if you have become a son of God, you do not continue to live in sin. It doesn't mean that you never commit a sin. It means you do not make it a habit to live in sin. Sometimes you slip, sometimes you fall, and you need to come back to God for forgiveness. But what is certainly true is that your mentality is changed, and the whole direction of your life has changed. You do not make it a habit to live in sin. Occasionally you slip, but you do not make it a habit to sin. Your whole mentality is different. Are you a son of God or are you not a son of God? That is your choice that you must face today. And are you sure that you are a son of God? Just look at your daily life. Does your mentality and the way you behave show yourself you to be a son of God? Do other people see a Christ-likeness in you? That is the question. If not, then come to Him. Let the Spirit of God come into your life and change you. Becoming a Christian is to be changed. That's how we become new people. This is the choice you have to make. Let us become quiet before God in prayer.